Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Laurie Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well on this chilly evening, and let's get to it.
Yeah, so that has been happening since Tuesday, November 8th, as Democrats have retained the U.S. Senate majority. The House of Representatives has GOP leading in recounts with 13 seats still deemed too close to call. For the first time in our political history, America has had 12 female governors, nine Democrats, three Republicans, with two being members of LGBTQ community. There's been many firsts in this election cycle, which represents what 21st century America looks like. Maryland now has its first African-American governor, making him the third black man to serve as governor for any state. Mm-hmm. Special election runoffs happening in Georgia on December 6, 2022. Can incumbent Democrat Senator Raphael Warnock hold on to a strong challenge by Republican challenger Herschel Walker? Will Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from Colorado District 6 hold on to her seat? Where does America go from here if Republicans get a majority in the House? 218 is the magic number. Thank you for joining us tonight. This midterm special, you can subscribe at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Call in, say your first name, where you're calling from. The number to call, 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with David Franklin and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, good news, Laura. Arizona has been called for Democrat Katie Hobbs. Isn't that wonderful news?
It is great news. And, you know, the funny thing is that we talked about her campaign, you know, earlier in the weeks prior to the, you know, to this election.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not want to debate Carrie Lake because she thought that Carrie Lake was just too, well, I can say it, she's evil. So I don't think she wanted to get into a brawl with her, in other words. So the Democratic Party was a little bit, they were upset with her, actually. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think it ended up being the right decision.
Exactly, exactly. First time in political history that happened. And during the introduction, I said there are 12 female governors now. I think that's 13.
Yes.
Katie Hobbs, governor-elect of Arizona. Congratulations to her. Hopefully, our listeners in Arizona will call in somewhere, somehow tonight. We're looking for those Arizona calls and everything. Carrie Lake is fuming mad, I can just imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Because from 2 months ago, she's been saying that, oh, if she loses against Katie Hobbs, then the election was rigged.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything in her power to, talk down to the members of the supervisor of elections in Maricopa County, which traditionally has been a Republican district, a Republican county. and over 20,000 people voted against Carrie Hobbs. I mean,
yep,
Carrie
absolutely.
Lake, sorry.
Carrie
you know,
Lake.
So it's not about, yeah, it's about, you know, just sour grapes. You know, she can't accept the will of the people.
No.
It's disgraceful how Republicans like her and the Republican who ran in Michigan for Secretary of State against Benson lost by 33,000 plus votes. I mean, where's the class? Where's the tradition of where, you know, you do the honorable thing and concede, you know?
No, she's the only one that did not concede. But, oh, well, for her, she lost, bottom line, you know.
And this is a big blow to... And this is a big blow to Donald Trump because tomorrow he has an announcement to make, and everybody is speculating that he's going to announce his candidacy for president of the United States and running for the Republican nomination. But
that's
interestingly, the winds has been knocked out of his sail because almost all of his candidates have lost the races for Secretary of State, Attorney General, and even Governor. We've seen in your state where Tudor Dixon lost. You know, and
Tudor
all over the country.
The Attorney General lost, the Secretary of State lost, you know, all the ones that, you know, Trump put up there, they all lost. So, yeah, he's a big loser in Michigan, absolutely.
Yes,
so,
he's a loser in general.
True.
Yeah.
The thing is, Carrie Lake, a couple of days ago, she said that they were going to storm, you know, they're going to storm the... you know, they're just going to make noise and they're going to storm where, you know, where the voting takes place at the polls and this and that. And they told them absolutely not. We are waiting for you. You know, we have police, the police force is going to, you are not going to cause any sort of trouble. And, you know, that's just out of style now. Get over it. Trump lost. You guys, you know, the Republicans lost. You know, the big lie was just that. It was a big lie. And you can't win on a lie. Bottom line. And, you know, and this is egg in their face. This is egg in their face. And I'm very happy that, you know, we were so worried. I mean, I was, I can say. I was worried. You know, I really thought that, you know, they were talking about the economy and inflation and, you know, all these negative things. And I thought, oh, my gosh. No, it's the abortion issue. It's the abortion issue that's going to take us over the top. And actually, it ended up being the abortion issue that did take us over the top. And then, of course, inflation was number two. But that is why women went out and voted. You know, the young people went out and voted. And they just showed that they have the power and the will, and they can take the torch. I'm very happy about
it. Yes, and the millennials outvoted baby boomers who voted overwhelmingly for Republicans, 64 to 61.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I mean, which baby boomer in the right mind? Because Republicans did say that it would take away Social Security benefits.
Yeah.
Cancel
it
completely. Why would you vote Republican? I don't understand these people's thinking.
It makes absolutely no sense. You know, why anyone would vote against themselves, you know, against their, you know, their livelihood or their, especially, you know, their interest.
Best interest.
In, you know, yes, absolutely. I mean, why would you do that unless you're brainwashed? And that's the only way that, you know, in California, you know, there's a lot of races that have not been called yet. I'm very, you know, nervous about California. Do you think we're going to win the House, David?
You know, I don't want to make any predictions, but I know for sure that Katie Porter, for example, in District 27 in California, having a real warm time, it's like 0.2% lead that she has over a Republican opponent, and they've spent oodles, ridiculous amounts of money to unseat her. The other seats in California, too close to call, but hopefully Democrats can pull out a miracle and save the Democratic majority in the House and everything. You know, so, but Casey Hobbs, 5 nights ago, came out on stage and said this.
Campaign is over and polls have closed. The county election officials are hard at work tabulating those votes. and they're going to be tabulating them for the next few days. I know that we're all eager to find out who won each of these incredibly important races, but we need to be patient and wait for every vote to be counted, because every single vote matters, and every single vote counts equally. Whether you voted by mail, dropped off your ballot in a secure drop box yesterday, or voted in person today. We know my opponent and her allies have been sowing doubt and confusion throughout this campaign, and it's unacceptable that they were spreading misinformation today while people were exercising their freedom to vote. I have every confidence that the counties administering this election conducted a free and fair election, and their results will be accurate, but they will take time. So prepare for a long evening and a few more days of counting. And for now, let's go enjoy the evening.
So that was Secretary of State of Arizona, Kate Hobbs, Democratic nominee in 2022 for governor. She's now governor-elect. And AP officially called it just moments ago. MSNBC called it. So when the caller race is official. So I guess Carrie Lake, the Republican, is like, throwing ketchup against the walls there, wherever she is.
Yeah.
It's just that Donald Trump.
Yeah, basically. She is. Oh, wow.
She's throwing her Botox vials against the wall, you know.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. You know, even when she spoke, she had this vindictiveness in her, this evilness that showed. There was nothing about her that looked, you know, happy or kind or gracious. She was out for blood. And, you know, people can see through that. They don't like that, you know. They don't like it. And, you know, sometimes most of the time, good over evil wins. So I still am holding hope for the House. If we could get the House, boy, could we get some stuff done. Absolutely. You know?
Yes, that was a red wave that wasn't. I'm happy about that. And the first time in nearly 50 years that Democrats or the party who's in the White House never lose as many seats. You know, so this is only the third time in history that has ever happened. So Joe Biden...
Yep.
You know, because of his policies and his fight against a woman's right to choose and picket standing up for women, for students, for those the student loan debt loan forgiveness, you know, things like that. You know, it come back and tell Democrats. You know, I want the media to report on the facts that what Joe Biden has signed into law with a Democratic Congress. It's just shameful. You know, it's like the following leader, Fox News. And not, you know, reporting accurately or fairly, you know. And the media was saying, touting, oh, especially the Fox News, how it's going to be an electoral bloodbath with Democrats. There couldn't be more wrong, and I'm happy about that. Democracy has been saved, but only just. Because 2024, or going up to 2024, they're going to try this crap again, where, you know, hopefully I'm wrong. But I wouldn't put it past them to try a next insurrection.
Well,
but this time we'll be ready.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking that things are changing for Trump. I'm thinking that, you know, even the things that he has said about Ron DeSantis over the weekend, you know, he is like blowing a nut at that guy. And and he is screaming for attention. You know, that's what Trump does. He just gets down low. He punches, he screams, he yells, and because he feels he's never lost anything in his life. And you know what? You're going to lose something, you know. And our attorney general had better get his act together and get – I want him indicted. I want to see him in – you know, in an orange jumpsuit, you know, I'm waiting for that day because I feel that none of this would have happened if it weren't for Donald Trump. He is the divider in chief. He is the worst kind of human being that could be walking this earth, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Yes, indeed.
He has no bottom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lauren Boebert in Colorado 6th District, she's having also a warm time because the lead fluctuates between her and her opponent. But keep in mind, people listening out there, that the troops' votes haven't been counted yet. People overseas and embassies who are from the district in Colorado, their votes haven't been counted yet. And early voters haven't been counted yet. So it could really put Adam Frisch, her challenger, over the top. Because when it's less than, if it's 1% or less than 1%, an automatic recount. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that will be enough votes for Frisch to beat her soundly. We'll know in a couple of days' time, if not like a week tops. So, you know, we need to win this race because Lauren Boebert, just like her friend in Georgia 14th District, Marjorie Taylor Greene, they're just dividers. They haven't put any bills or co-sponsored any bills forward. You know, when the president gave a State of the Union, they were heckling him and making noise. You know, just disruptive and disrespectful. You know, like children, like little, you know the bullies in the elementary school. Yeah, that's how they've been acting. You know, not like grown-ups. You know, so it's going to come back. We got a good people, Colorado District 6. Not really put up with things like that. It's embarrassing to have a congressional representative just like that. And she's not a good person. And hopefully the votes will come in for Adam Frisch, her Democratic challenger.
I hope so. I really do. I agree with you. It's, all of this garbage that's happened since Trump that we have been putting up with for years upon years now, it feels like feels like 20 years. And we've had enough. It's time for us to go back to something normal, to be able to wake up in the morning and not wonder, you know, what he's going to set on fire today, because that's what he's done.
Exactly.
And we need to show, the world that we will hold him accountable. He needs to be held accountable because if he's not held accountable, there will be another something that comes up next because there's always evil in the world. We know that. So, I just feel that it's time. You know, I mean, we've all been patient and we've put up with a lot of garbage with this man, and he has seemed to have skated away with way too much. And it's time for him to be arrested, and also his family needs to be, taken care of as well. It's time, way past time.
Yes, exactly. And you know what would be good if he makes an announcement tomorrow, and after he makes the announcement, he gets arrested. That was so funny. I'd pay good money to see that. You know, that was so good.
Yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
That
would be sweet revenge, too good to be true revenge. I just want to change the subject for a moment, and I just extend my condolences to the three Virginia football players that were killed today. There was an ex-player in custody. This happened in Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. A former University of Virginia football player suspected of killing three football players and wounding two other students on campus late Sunday night is in custody after a manhunt in Charlottesville, Virginia, police confirmed on Monday. During a news conference Monday, University of Virginia President Jim Ryan said three Cavaliers football players were shot and killed. Junior receiver Lavelle Davis Jr. of Dorchester, South Carolina, junior receiver Devin Chandler of Huntsville, North Carolina, and junior defensive end linebacker Deshaun Perry of Miami. Authorities said the suspect in the shooting, identified as Christopher Darnell Jones Jr., was apprehended without incident before 11 a.m. in Henrico County, Virginia. University of Virginia Police Chief Tim Longo said Jones, 22, had been arrested and charged with three counts of second-degree murder and three counts of using a handgun in the commission of a felony. Jones was listed as a freshman running back on the team's 218 roster, and his roster bio noted that he previously played at Petersburg High School, Verena High School in Virginia. Ryan said the two other students were shot and were hospitalized. He said one was in good condition and one was in critical condition. Ryan did not identify the other students. This is what's wrong with America. This is terrible news. And my heart goes out to those families. They were just college students playing football. They didn't really say if there was a motive, but this is sad. It's shocking. It's tragic. And it shouldn't be. No. I mean, as shocking as it is, it's just another day in America.
Yeah, yeah, this gun violence has to stop, and Republicans not really do anything about, you know, curbing the gun violence, because the NRA is, they're in the NRA's pocket. NRA gives them money, oodles of money, you know, so, and even the gun laws that were passed. Exactly. Can you imagine Jim Jordan as a Judiciary Committee Chairman in the House?
His voice alone is enough to put you under. You know, that squeaky, boisterous, loud, annoying voice is enough to put you over the edge. You know, I wish that someone would investigate him, because I am sure he's got many skeletons in his closet as well.
Yes, yes. And so hopefully, you know, Lauren Boebert will win re-election, because God forbid she become a committee chairman for any committee. I mean, she could barely pass her high school test, you know, much less be a chairman for some important committee. Good Lord, what have you come to? I hope you lose. Let that bitch lose. And the only reason why Republicans are in the lead, because in Florida alone, 8 seats were gerrymandered single-handedly by the governor, Ron DeSantis, where the courts say it's illegal and unconstitutional for a governor to redraw districts. You know, and he did that anyway. So, you know, and the 8 new seats in Florida that were gerrymandered, 1 in Alabama, or 4 in Florida, sorry, 1 in Alabama, and 3 more elsewhere. I don't remember where which other states there were, but there are red states. And because the court system is packed with conservative judges that don't know anything about it, you know, and the Supreme Court hasn't said anything else about it, even though they rule it illegal. And when Democrats redraw districts in their favor, when the court said no, that shouldn't happen, even with Democratic judges, the Democratic Party respect that and say, okay, cool, let's have an independent commission draw up the district. You know, so Republicans, everything. The other states that make up the 8 is Texas. The German, the shit out of Texas, and the closing a lot of, you know, precincts where people have to walk or drive miles to go vote. You know, so, you know, things like that should not happen. Well, of course, you know, the only way Republicans can win is by cheating like that.
Yeah, Texas broke my heart, because Beto O'Rourke, I mean, that man worked that campaign every single day. He went all over the state of Texas. And I've said this before, he went to little cities, bigger cities, little towns, you know, and he poured his heart and his soul into this campaign. And I am still very upset that he lost. And, you know, what more does Texas have? Do they have to freeze the justice winner? Maybe, you know? it's just beyond me. And maybe you're right. It's the gerrymandering, or is it enough? Not enough Texans getting out to vote, or are they just
gerrymandering? Gerrymandering. It's not like the Texans don't come out and vote. It's so far away, these precincts. A great majority of them will be closed down and everything.
Yeah.
So the only way Texas and Florida Republicans can win is through gerrymandering. Interestingly, in Washington Post today, and I quote, "Democrats con Trump into endorsing Harvard midterm candidates." So says Washington Post. Jeff Bezos is the owner of Washington Post. He's a Trumpy, you know. So I never heard anything more ridiculous than that. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah. It's actually, I laughed when I read that. You know, it's ridiculous. Why would Democrats even think about something like that? It doesn't happen. You know, it's just he's just as bad as Twitter. Right now, his name just left my brain.
Herschel Walker.
The new Twitter. No, the new Twitter owner. Twitter.
Oh, Elon Musk.
Yes, he's just as crazy as Elon Musk. So, you know, those two people. I hope Elon Musk loses his. You know, Twitter's
$44 million investment. Mm-hmm.
Billion.
Yeah.
Billion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he right now, he's very upset.
Mm-hmm. So when asked to comment, Carrie Lake said nothing and flew off on her broom about the election loss. Of course, that's a joke.
Yes. Of course, you know. Oh, and then Taylor Greene today is calling for a GOP civil war after midterms. For what? For what?
She got reelected. What's her problem?
Yeah, she's mentally. There is something really wrong with that woman, and how she got reelected is beyond me.
Well, I guess not. Well, it's a deep congressional 14th district in North Georgia is a gerrymandered red district, so. You know, she won. Mm-hmm. It was expected, so.
It's sickening. It really is sickening, you know. And, you know, AOC is saying that she fears for her life and is afraid to walk her dog. That's pretty darn sad.
Yeah.
You know.
Because her opponent, who, you know, her son, they're running, allegedly, a gun warehouse. It was set up to be a warehouse where goods and products and liquor were, you know, stored in. And the FBI raided and found illegal guns and everything.
Wow.
You know, and so to protect her husband, she threw her son under the bus. So now the son have a rap, a federal rap, and, you know, so that the people in District 14, where AOC represents, she handily defeated her opponent, and because they have soul grips, you know, threatening AOC's life. You know,
that's
this is
terrible.
What our politics has come to.
I know. That's horrible. You know, just
sad,
for your
sickening,
life.
Depressing.
It is sad. It's sickening. And you're absolutely right about that. You know, to be afraid to walk her dog because of her politics and the evil that's around is beyond, you know, my thinking. I can't express how sad that makes me, you know. It's just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so if Carrie Lake in Arizona wants to say that it was rigged, she's basically accusing the sheriff's department in Maricopa County and poll workers who are both Democrats and Republicans are agreeing to collude to cheat. You know?
Yeah.
I hope she don't do that because these people's reputation, they've been doing it for years, you know, working together so that, you know, the real winner comes out. You get what I'm saying? But because Carole is the female version of Donald Trump, you know,
yeah.
you know, she's throwing all sorts of accusations without evidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Katie Hobbs just posted, democracy is worth the wait. Hobbs posted on social media minutes after the race was called, thank you, Arizona. I'm so honored and so proud to be your next governor. So
mm-hmm.
that's beautiful. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm very happy for Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I won't hold my breath for a candidate to concede. It's not in her nature.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. She'll probably have to be talked out of it, is my guess, by her advisors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because but she's been acting, no way that she would concede. She's been acting like a,
mm-hmm.
you know, some kind of a Gestapo woman. And it's terrible
mm-hmm.
to be like that. There's
yeah.
just no reason. You know, and
yeah.
Mitt Romney today, I'm going to read a statement from him. Mitt Romney said, and I quote, I understand that he's going to run for president and announce that tomorrow. It's like the aging pitcher who keeps losing games. And if we want to win, we need a different pitcher on the mound. And I know there's some fans that love him, but it's time for him to get off the mound because we have a real strong bench. That's what Mitt Romney said this afternoon. And then
mm-hmm,
he said,
mm-hmm.
then he also said that abortion played a much bigger role than we anticipated. I think President Trump was an albatross on the electoral prospects of some of our candidates. He helped select some of the people who turned out to be very effective, not to be very effective candidates. So, yeah, so
mm-hmm.
he's blaming him as well, you know. And you know what? You can't just blame one person because no one told these candidates what they had to say on their trail when they were running for their offices. You know,
mm-hmm.
nobody made them say the things that they said. And the election deniers lost. Bottom line.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's full of shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
So the outstanding races in California. I know why the congressman in District 7 in New York lost, because, again, the Republicans gerrymandered that district.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
yes.
that's the only reason why he lost, you know?
I know. It's just, I don't know. I wish somebody could explain to me how that happens. I mean, how is that allowed to happen, you know, in a democracy?
Mm-hmm.
It just should not happen. You should not be able to just, you know, draw the map the way you want to draw it because you know that
mm-hmm.
these group of voters live in that area, you know, and they're for,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
would vote for you. It's just not right.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
It needs to be fixed.
Yeah, they should have, you know, the court told them that they should have an independent body,
yeah.
you know, to
right.
draw up the districts across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But neither
mm-hmm.
Democrat nor Republican, especially Republicans, especially in red states, don't want to do that and lose the power.
Yeah.
I saw what the scientists did in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, saw what Governor Abbott did in Texas. You know, is that
yeah.
they don't respect, you know, what judges say, you know?
And Georgia as
you know,
well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Georgia as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, something's got to be done about that. Absolutely. It
mm-hmm.
just can't happen. I know they redrew the districts in Michigan, and that turned
mm-hmm.
out very well for us. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
Not in every county, of course, but you
mm-hmm.
know, it mattered at the end. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, fairness is fairness, and that's all there is
mm-hmm.
to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned
yeah.
a little bit in the beginning of the show about women who will be serving as governors. There's going to be 12 women serving as governors in 2023.
Plus Katie Hobbs.
Right, there'll be 13. Yes, there'll be 13. Mm-hmm. And this breaks the previous record that was set in 2004 when we had 9 women serving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are looking incumbent governors in 7 states, Alabama, Iowa, Kansas, Maine, New Mexico, Michigan, and South Dakota were reelected. Women in 3 states, Arkansas, Massachusetts, and Oregon, were elected for the first time. New York's
mm-hmm.
Governor Katie Hochul also won her race.
Yeah.
She had previously taken
mm-hmm.
office following the resignation of Andrew Cuomo, and that's probably another story down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we cannot forget Arizona. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm going to say this. I feel that women are going to be what's going to keep this country rolling and going. And less scandals, less garbage thrown at each other. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really believe that it's a trend that it's going to be positive for this country. I do believe
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a happy thing. That's happy
mm-hmm.
To know that we have this record-breaking number of women winning governor races. It's
mm-hmm.
very, very uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, man. Number to call, ladies and gentlemen listening, is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Okay, so, you know, how is your feeling and what's your thoughts on the December 6th runoff in Georgia? Do you think Warnock, will beat him soundly in this runoff? Because you have to remember, even if Republicans win this race, God forbid, they still won't make up the majority. You know, so
no.
I guess it blow the sails out, the wings of the sails of Republican voters in Georgia. And,
yeah.
you know, Herschel Walker is stupid, basically. You know, and they said, okay,
yeah.
it don't make sense going out and showing up to vote because we're not going to have the majority anyway.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the logic that they'll use. I don't know. The voters
mm-hmm.
will use that. I don't know. But I think Warnock
mm-hmm.
has a chance of winning, absolutely. And he should be the
mm-hmm.
the winner, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't even be having
mm-hmm.
a runoff. It just still blows
mm-hmm.
my mind when I think about this. How can so many
right.
people vote somebody like that? How, in their right mind?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Are they that misinformed? I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't care if he's an idiot. Once that he has the R behind his name, then yeah, you know, and he's a token black
yeah.
for the Republican Party.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. And what'll happen is he has no idea about government. He has no idea,
mm-hmm.
you know, what his job would entail. He'll be told
mm-hmm.
everything, you know, what to vote for, what not to vote for, and that's
mm-hmm.
how it'll be. If he
mm-hmm.
wins, and that's just a great loss for Georgia, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
mm-hmm.
Georgia, Texas, Florida, you know, these deep red states, they don't even know what they're
mm-hmm.
missing. It's sad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what
yes.
they're missing.
But, yeah, and the top 3 Republicans' quotes of the week. Let me tell you, Donald Trump. He said this. They stole the electron from Blake Masters. That's the guy in Arizona who challenged Mark
mm-hmm.
Kelly and lost. Electrons,
mm-hmm.
not elections. So they can't spell.
No.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, District 14, Georgia. Our enemies are quacking in their boots. She's supposed to be saying quaking, but she misspelled it saying quacking. That's how dumb she is. She don't know the difference
yeah.
between quaking and quacking. That's sad.
No.
And she's going to be a committee chairman
yeah.
if Republican, God forbid, you know, win the majority.
I know.
And last but not least is Herschel Walker. he said, mm-hmm. we're the greatest country in the United States. I wish I were kidding about that. I have the video somewhere.
Yeah.
I wish I could put it up. Yeah, I sent mm-hmm. a video to you yesterday. I looked at it about 10 times. I'm like, did he really just say that? We're the greatest country in the United States. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And
we
I want him as U.S.
Senator. In the United States. Yes, that's what he said.
Yeah.
We are the greatest country in the United States. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, Georgia.
Of course, people are like, you're cheering. People are cheering, like, yeah, like idiots. Like you said, something profound.
Profound is stupid,
oh, my God.
I know. It just blows my mind. Every day there is something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Chris Christie. You remember Chris Christie?
Mm-hmm. Governor of New Jersey.
I don't know why he matters, you know.
Bridgegate, New Jersey, former governor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. I don't know why he matters, I mean, honestly. But he did say in an interview that he is warning the GOP will never win another election without Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That is what
mm-hmm.
he said. And
mm-hmm.
he's right about that. I will give him that.
Mm-hmm.
He joined mm-hmm. Donna Brazile, who said she was unsure if President Joe Biden would run for re-election, but noted the president has time to decide. Brazile said, and I quote, Biden has a little pep in his step after Democrats won Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Christie
mm-hmm.
said Brazile raised a good point and issued a warning to Republicans. And this is what he said. I think Don made an interesting point. The Republicans need to think about Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. There is no scenario
mm-hmm.
under which Republicans and win the presidency in 2024 and lose all three
mm-hmm.
of those states. They can't. The electoral math doesn't work. So
yes, because Tony Evers won re-election. In Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
Tony Evers won re-election for governor. He's a Democrat there. And nobody
mm-hmm.
was expecting him to win. And he went quite convincingly by 7 or 8 points. I'm still shocked about that. And yesterday, last night, Catherine Cortez Mesto, the U.S. Senator, declared winner in the Senate race in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was the one who put Democrats over the top to have the majority because
mm-hmm.
that race was so close. But give props to the Nevada Election Commission because they have their shit together, meaning, there's no hanky-panky Democrat, Republican. The people that
mm-hmm.
they hire have great integrity. You know,
mm-hmm.
and not because you're from opposing parties that, you know, that if it were Florida, you know, guns would be drawn and what have you. That's how backward Florida is. But Nevada have the thing, the thing together. So congratulations to her and her win, and congratulations to the people who are involved in counting. The integrity needed, mm-hmm. you know, for something like this is very commendable for what they did.
You better believe it. I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, yes. So, check this out. $7.6 billion was spent mostly by the GOP and their super PACs in this 2022 election cycle on ads alone. So, imagine 2024 coming up. This is going to be triple that. We need to do something about money in politics, especially about super PACs.
It's crazy. It's
mm-hmm.
just beyond who you can't imagine. The amount of money that's being spent, it could raise the country up and help so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what do? It's just blown on elections. You know, pretty
mm-hmm.
soon we're going to start talking about the presidential election coming up in 2024. We're going to be saturated
mm-hmm.
with that for, you know, for how long? Over a year, you know, even longer. And it gets
mm-hmm.
tiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tiring,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
You know, there was also, there's 6 Democrats that could run in 2024. I don't know. I'm going to read them off and see if you agree with this article.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Harris's name comes up as the first one of the Democrats in running for 2024 presidential nomination. Pete Buttigieg, Gretchen Whitmer, Joe Biden. But he's going to be turning 80 next year. You know, that's something to consider. You know,
well, because Reagan was 82 years old in 1984 when he ran for re-election, so age don't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I guess if you think of Reagan, but anyways, I'm just saying he's going to be turning 80, and I think he's in good shape. He seems to be in good physical shape. You know, really, I wouldn't be unhappy about it. Let's see, who else? Pete, Gretchen Whitmer, I said. Oh, Gavin Newsom is another one. Gavin Newsom, I like him as well. Amy Klobuchar is another one. She's talked about it. Bernie Sanders.
Hell no. No in hell Amy Klobuchar should run. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I know. Who are you talking? Bernie Sanders? Yeah, no. I don't think he should run.
No. Bernie Sanders is done. Bernie's time is done. God bless him. Love him dearly, but no. But Susie's been waiting for almost 3 minutes, so let me put Susie on.
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, Susie. Welcome tonight to Kitchen Politics 123. What's up?
Hi, Susie.
I was just, watching MSNBC, the crawl across, and they project four more seats in the House. So they think it'll be closer, 219 for the Republicans and 216 for the Dems far. So that way better. I was worried today because it was eight seats apart. And I'm going, no.
I'm telling you, I have a feeling we might do this. I mean, I'm not giving up hope yet. I'm really not. We might do this.
Especially in California.
What would happen in Arizona? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, speaking of California, they did the numbers. Porter, Katie Porter in California is now 50.6% over Abra, 49.6. And Levin is 52.5 versus Marriott or whatever his name is, 47.5. So maybe that's two right there.
I
hope so.
But remember, the magic number is 218. And listen, the three seats there are ahead of to get this majority. If it wasn't for Ron DeSantis, German and shit out of Florida with those three seats, plus one from Alabama and Texas and a couple in Georgia, the Republicans wouldn't have this, cushion going in. Why would some about this damn gerrymandering? It's disgusting.
I agree.
Well, Michigan just had the people redraw the voting line.
They did.
That it was way much more favorable. And too bad all states don't do that.
Yes, they all should do that. Absolutely.
Hey, so Susie, have you heard anything lately in Arizona? Did Carrie Lake give a concession speech, or she's fighting
it?
No, she
didn't yet, as far as I saw on TV. I mean, they keep on showing she lost. But that's
she's
about it.
I guess she's jumping
they just flashed her again on TV. 97% of the votes are in, and they project Hobbs won. But she hasn't come out and showed her face yet.
No.
Well, you know
what
she wants to do? She wants to be head of the Republican Party.
Sure she does.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, she already announced that.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she
wants
to be
in
the
Congress. I'll be head of all the Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh,
crazy.
God.
Yeah, give me a... She's,
well, you know,
like
my question
said,
is, ladies.
Yes.
My question is, ladies, how can Carrie Lake be such a flip-flopper in terms of being a staunch Obama supporter, then 4 years later, because of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
A toast on one ear. That
doesn't make any sense.
What inspired her?
I know. I don't
Did she hit Hillary Clinton that move?
Well, she's a Trump mini-me. It's all about her, all about her. I got to be on the stage, and, you know, she's not on TV anymore, so she's got to do something, right?
Yeah.
Also,
and Rona McDaniel, Rona Romney McDaniel, she's the current. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, Arizona Secretary of State, Fountains, is projected to win the Democrat.
Good. Another
so
Democrat.
That's
good.
One more thing. So, well, we can still hope.
Just I just want to say, I want to just go back to one thing. And I was talking about the candidates that, you know, could possibly run for president in 2024. And I was talking about President Biden, you know, going to be turning 80.
Uh-huh.
Well, someone just messaged me and said, what about Chuck Grassley? He is 93.
Oh, hell
he got
no.
reelected for 6 more years.
Yes,
he did.
God.
That's crazy.
They got to put a term limit.
He'll
oh, they did that in Michigan, you know. In
know.
Michigan, you know, because we had those other issues besides abortion and voting rights. They had legislation regulations, including term limits. Transparency, show what you're invested in. Now that should spread across the country, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
It should. Because
Absolutely.
Back in 2010, when Republicans got the majority and Newt Gingrich was the leader, the contract with America, or even before 2010, the contract with America stated in it, one of the 10 things was term limits. And all Republicans who got in, when they said, oh, we're running this, the only thing that didn't change was term limits. Why? You know? That showed the bold hypocrisy of the Republican Party.
Well, you know why.
You know? They have no integrity.
It's all about money and power, you know?
It should be 65 like every other job. You got to retire.
Exactly.
There should be I'm all for term limits. I really am. They get too comfortable in their jobs and, you know, too cushy in their jobs. And, you know,
as a congressperson, when you get elected, 2 years' time, you have to run in the primaries that take a lot of money. So they're constantly campaigning and leave.
That's it.
The writing of the laws, the special interest groups, you know, and that's not putting the people first, you know, the special interest groups and lobby writing the laws to benefit themselves.
You know, like I said over and over again, the Supreme Court screwed up because businesses are buying and paying for our Congress, and that is damn wrong. And they're not going to change the rules that made them go to office. So I don't know how in the hell we're going to get rid of them, change anything. You know, it's just not right. It's all about the money and screw the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the only thing that can change it is if Joe Biden, if he gets both chambers of Congress, you know, like expand the Supreme Court from 9 judges to 15.
Yeah.
That is possible. He's against it now, but hopefully he changes his mind. Okay, so new results in from Maricopa County in governor's race in Arizona. This is on Chris Haynes. I'm going to play it. It's a 2-minute video. Here it is.
Getting some word from the control room about a call here, if I'm not mistaken. We are now projecting that Democratic Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is, in fact, the winner in the Arizona gubernatorial race. This will make her the Democratic governor of that state. She has, according to our projections, vanquished Carrie Lake, a local TV news personality who mounted an incredibly strong campaign. Katie Hobbs was the only statewide elected Democrat. She was the Secretary of State. She ran for governor, and it looks like she will be the next governor in Arizona. Steve?
Well, that's why I was kind of stalling for time.
I know,
because I had
everyone, we all understand.
I had a very strong feeling this was coming, and I was I was running out of ways to say it without saying it. But yes, this was the advantage of over 20,000 votes with, you know, Maricopa now pretty much exhausted in terms of remaining ballots. Pima County may have a few, but anything to come in out of Pima is probably going to benefit Hobbs. The provisional ballots to come might benefit Hobbs as well. You just take a look around the state at the remaining areas. There are some Republican areas. Generally, they're very small in terms of population, in terms of vote share. And even in some of these Republican areas, for instance, we got an update from Yuma County, you know, small county earlier in the evening. And it was an update of those mail ballots dropped off on Election Day. And Hobbs actually got more votes in the update than Lake did. So even in some of these Republican rural areas, they weren't huge batches of votes like we're talking about in Maricopa. But even there, Lake was actually losing a little bit of ground in some of the updates earlier. So looking at Maricopa, it was ball game. You knew Carrie Lake needed to get a massive number out of there. I think she needed to get this thing at least inside of 5,000 where you could plausibly make a case that maybe there are enough votes out there and just the right combination for her. But when you saw 20,000, that's a safe margin for Katie Hobbs.
20,481 in Maricopa County, which is traditionally Republican. So there is no way Carrie Lake can win. No way.
No. Nope.
And so here's Carrie Lake now live. Carrie Lake.
Arizona, how are you tonight? Are you ready to take this state back? Are you ready to turn things around?
This is supposed to be our concession speech, but she won't concede.
Don't let those cheaters and crooks think anything different. Don't let them doubt. Don't let them put doubt in you. We have a movement. We have a movement, and we know it. Did you feel it? Did you feel that movement?
Power movement.
You know, I did a lot of praying to God. I've been praying to God every day, all day. And I said to him, you make this victory come whatever way you want. If it comes decisive on Election Day, then bring it to us that way. If we have to fight through the BS and the garbage, then we will fight through the BS and the garbage. But how do you get fair and free elections? You have to fight and win to make them fair and free. And we needed another stark reminder that we have incompetent people running the show in Arizona.
Oh, God.
Who is ready for a change? We had great patriots around this state show up today. It was so amazing. They showed up at the polls early this morning only to be told the election equipment didn't work. 2 minutes in, 2 minutes into voting, we had people being told, well, you're going to have to put your little ballot over here into another box. Guys, the fake media back there tried to tell us we were wrong for asking questions about our elections. Guess what? We are going to win this. We are going to win this.
No, you're not.
No.
Oh,
God. Oh, puke.
Yeah. Yeah, so Carrie Lake saying bogus fraud, and she didn't lose and what have you. You know, she is so ungracious. You know, it's very disheartening. You know? Oh, Lord. These Republicans
hysterical.
Have no class. Yeah.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
Just hysterical. That she thinks she can get away with what she just said. And people are supposed to believe her. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. And then we have people like Ted Cruz. Okay, so he said today, I am so pissed off. I cannot even be straight. He blames Mitch McConnell for GOP midterm losses. Today he slammed.
No, I'm laughing.
Yeah, I mean they are beating each other up, you know. And he said he's blaming Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell during a Monday podcast. saying the GOP should have the majority of the upper chamber and blame McConnell for not supporting Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really? Come on. You know, and he
but
said
you know,
he
Blake Masters got Blake Masters got millions from the Republican National Committee, and he also got millions from Super PACs, and he still couldn't win. Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
So
and that's what
Joe
I'm trying
Biden,
to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Biden had something
to say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Listen to Joe Biden. This was election night. This happened about 3 days ago. Here's Joe Biden, President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Good day for democracy. It was a strong night for Democrats. First national election since January 6th, and there were a lot of concerns about whether democracy would meet the test. It did.
Yep, it did.
Yep.
Democracy
it sure
survived.
Did.
The American people spoke, millennials, and across the board spoke. First-time voters spoke. Independence went on the side of Democrats, and I'm happy. I'm so goddamn happy.
Yeah.
And so is the world, except for Russia and China and Iran, but everybody else are thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely.
So Kate Porter against Barr with 93% the votes tallied. There's a difference of 2,970. Katie Porter, 50.8% compared to Barr, which is 49.2%. Still too close to call.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining votes left is 107,000 votes to become dead.
I hope that Katie Porter wins. She deserves to win. She is brilliant. I'd love to listen to her.
She explains things so well.
Yes, she's straightforward, and she tells it like it is, and she is a great, you know, asset. I hope that she, I really do, you know, I really do.
Yes, and here's Kate Porter on the 11th hour. With Stephanie Raoul on MSNBC. This is what Kate Porter had to say.
Guest is fighting to keep her seat in the House. Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter joins us now. Congresswoman, earlier tonight, Kevin McCarthy was on Fox News. He says when all the votes are counted, he thinks she'll be defeated. What do you say to that?
Well, all the votes are not counted. Respectfully, I would say. But I think that we're seeing across the country in a lot of these states, my colleagues are winning. I just had another colleague, Kim Schreier, win in Washington tonight. I think we're seeing people win in Nevada. I think we're going to see more victories come out of Arizona and California in the coming days. So, look, this is the same man who predicted a 60-vote Republican red wave and is instead, you know, it's really up to the voters here in the next few days as we count all the ballots to see whether the Democrats or the Republicans have the majority.
Well, the big red wave certainly didn't come. What is your biggest takeaway? I know you don't know your results yet, but as you look at the results across the country, what is that telling you?
Well, I think it's telling us that people can see that Democrats are standing up for their values, their ability to make their own decisions about their health care, including abortion. They're standing up for our democracy, for our Constitution, and protecting it against people who want to trample on it. And I think we're standing up for consumers and workers and this economy.
You didn't just run against a Republican opponent. You really ran against big, dark money, GOP super PAC money, at a time when many have said, well, maybe if Democrats put more money in Katie Porter's race, but it was $17 billion total put into these midterms. What is that like?
Well, I think that, you know, what we see with the dark money and the super PACs is almost all negative messaging. It's personal attacks, it's pot shots, and I think what we can see in some of these races is actually, voters don't want that. They actually want to know, what are you going to do? And in the case of Democrats and Republicans here in my race, I think I was able to show Orange County families that what I do when I go to Washington is fight for them. I'm willing to stand up to corporations, to big oil when they pollute, to big pharma when they rip off patients. I'm willing to do that, and I'm willing to fight to protect our tax dollars. And I think when you put that kind of really, here's where I am side by side with you, fighting for a better economy, up against personal attacks, I think voters see through that.
Is this an opportunity for Democrats to look back on this and say, let's talk more about the economy? Because every time you and I talk, you talk about what you're fighting for in Washington, and Republicans have kind of been exposed here. They're the ones that kind of get this credit for being good on the economy while offering no policies. And many, many Democrats only talk about social issues, and you know, social issues and economic issues are completely intertwined.
No, absolutely. Look, a lot of the social problems and concerns come from not having a stable job, from not having housing that's affordable, from not having opportunity for social mobility. So I think that Democrats absolutely should talk about the economy all of the time, because we are the party that does a good job with the economy. We're the party that brought down unemployment. We're the party who's paid down the deficit. Just to mention two things we've done in the last few years. Only that, we've stood up to monopoly power. We've tried to create more competition in the economy. We've tried to bring manufacturing back here, including in semiconductors. We have a great message on the economy, and we don't have to choose between these issues. Americans want both. They want the ability to earn a living, raise their kids, take care of their family, save. And they also want to have their rights and freedoms as Americans at the same time.
Then what's your message to leadership within your party? What's next? Where do you all go from here? What did you learn from these midterms?
Well, I think one of the things we saw is that candidate quality matters. My colleagues who ran in these districts are tough. They're smart. They flipped seats in 2018, many of them. They hung on in 2020. And so I think we've got a great group of people who have learned how to win in tough races and in parts and pockets of this country, including Orange County, that people sometimes haven't thought we could do. I think that's a real positive. And I think the next question facing Democrats are, how are we going to create that kind of multi-generational leadership? How are we going to lift up a mix of voices in our leadership that's going to let us connect with these voters all across the country? And that includes connecting with them on economic issues.
And how are you feeling? This time tomorrow night, you'll know where you stand.
I probably will know tomorrow night. I don't know. But listen, this is the best part of a campaign in some ways, because this is the part where you know you left it all on the field. You worked hard. You listened. You got into every aspect of a community, got to know voters, knocked doors, had a great team of volunteers, spent the money that needed to be spent to win. So I am very – people say, aren't you stressed out? I said, no. We ran a tough race. We did everything we could do, and we feel confident it's going to pay off. So for me, this is just about catching up on laundry and letting democracy do the rest.
Then how do your kids feel tonight? You have three young kids that were knocking on doors with you. How are they feeling tonight?
Well, I think for kids, it's a mixed bag having a mother who's an elected official. They are definitely glad that the commercials are down. They're like, I hope they took those billboards down yesterday, Mom. So there's definitely some notoriety and some attention with it that isn't always welcome for them. But I think they also really care about what happens in this country. My children care a lot about things like climate change. They care a lot about things like abortion rights and LGBTQ equality. They care a lot about an economy that's going to make sure they have a high-paying job when they graduate. So I think they're glad to see Democrats winning and continuing to fight for a better future for them.
Katie Porter, catching up on laundry, maybe wiping off that whiteboard, getting ready for work next week. Always good to see you.
Yep, so that's Katie Porter, a Democrat from California, District 27,
yep.
Trying to catch up with our laundry after this hotly contested
her.
Race against the Republican.
Yep.
God, who kind of loves Katie Porter, though? You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
Her.
She's awesome. She is awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She really
mm-hmm,
is.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know,
man,
David,
I hope she wins.
You were talking about DeSantis, and did you know that a Florida judge has dismissed the lawsuit against DeSantis migrant flights on technical grounds? That just happened today.
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit,
Florida,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, a Florida judge on Monday threw out a lawsuit challenging Governor Ron DeSantis, his migrant relocation program, removing a potential obstacle to the Republican governor for resuming the effort that drew massive publicity and condemning from Democrats. But Leon Circuit Judge, John C. Cooper, kept the door open for the legal fight, giving State Senate Jason Pizzo, a Democrat from Miami, the plaintiff who sued DeSantis and other state officials, 2 weeks to revamp his lawsuit. And he went on to say, we're talking about technical pleading issues. We're not talking about the ultimate decision in this case or anything else, Cooper said Monday in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. Anything that I said, by the way, of hypotheticals or whatever, should not be taken as a ruling or anything that nature for or against. So the door is opened. Pizzo filed a lawsuit in late September, shortly after the DeSantis administration flew nearly 50 migrants from Texas to the island resort of Martha's Vineyard. We all remember that very well. The Democratic senator is seeking to block the governor from spending any more money on the program. State lawmakers set aside $12 million for the program, and the state so far has spent $101.56 million with the vendor that helped arrange the first flight. So, you know, the judge did not block it. He kind of kept the door open. I think DeSantis deserves to be sued for this because what he did was inhumane. He lied to them when he told them where they were going. And they had no idea where they were going. He gave them a little brochure like they were going to Disneyland or something ridiculous like that. And they ended up at Martha's Vineyard. But for the migrants, it turned out good that it was, you know, Martha's Vineyard, because they took them with open arms. But still, that is not how you treat other human beings. It just isn't
exactly
right.
Exactly.
How can he get away with it? He's taking people from one state to another state that he has nothing to do with and using Florida money. So why aren't the Floridians madder than hell?
Because
they reelected
them. Florida is so corrupt. You know, Florida is so corrupt and backward and ignorant and stupid that these people vote for DeSantis again. What should disqualify DeSantis was that debate with former Governor Charlie Crist, when Charlie Crist asked him point blank, looked him directly eyeball to eyeball and said, you know, Ron, can you promise the Floridians before election day that if you get a second term, will you run for the Republican nomination in 2024? And for a good 2 minutes flat, DeSantis just stood up there looking like a stooge, like a clown, refusing to answer. You know, that should tell you enough that, if he said no outright that he wouldn't run, then you know, but, you know, the man lacked integrity. You know, he couldn't even give an answer.
That's
my
worst nightmare. I don't know who's worse, him or Trump, to run for president. It makes my stomach just to think of it.
He's
kind worse. You know why? He's worse. Reason being, he's smarter than Trump.
Yes.
So don't forget your point, Laurie. I want to put on Lauren Boebert to have the statement that she made last night.
Don't believe that we will lose the Colorado 3rd District. I look forward to being the Congresswoman once again in a second term and fighting for everything that we work so hard.
Now at 11, election 2022 is not done just yet, with many races still close to call. Who won, who lost, and the races that haven't been decided. We break down the big storylines of Election Day, going beyond just the numbers, talking changes to leadership, laws, and how it impacts your life.
These numbers that we have on the screen here for you, this lets you know where exactly we stand. There's just over a...
Why are you not...
That race between Boebert and Adam Frisch is still too close to call, a 0.2% difference between them. So let's hope for the best.
Yes, razor thin.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, since we don't know what's happening, I was reading today about Robert Reich, the former U.S. Labor Secretary. He's my hero.
Mm-hmm.
He
had
a warning. He said, President Biden must push back hard as he can if Republicans take control of even one chamber in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
he
said the administration needs to be clear. There is no compromise on debt ceiling, which he expects a Republican-controlled Congress would challenge, potentially triggering a repeat of the political crisis in 2011 under Obama. He said the days of compromising have to be over. There is no compromise with authoritarian and pro-fascism. There is no halfway point between democracy and autocracy. We are seeing with the Republican Party now, which has become a party of authoritarians. I don't think the Democrats should attempt a compromise. I think the Dems have got to stand for labor, jobs, working people. The abandonment of the working class by the Dems to a large extent over the last 40 years has been a huge problem, not only for the Democratic Party, but for the country as a whole.
Absolutely, I agree.
That's his warning. Yep, he's a smart guy. I wish I would have took his class. But I would love to take his class. But
He's a smart guy.
Yep.
And he's right. Absolutely right.
So, I mean, we might not get both houses. It's going to be really close. But then you got assholes in our party like, what's her, Mnuchin and what's her face?
Zimmer.
And, I mean, if you got 51 still, you know, and then you got those two, it's still going to be hard. I mean, and then you don't know how many Republicans will vote with the Dems in the House. I mean, you get some, but you don't get too many. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's better than I even dreamed of. I thought we were going to get killed, but at least people are smarter than I thought.
yes, well, I'm so happy. As the millennials, well, a great debt of gratitude to the millennials, most of them voting for the first time. I'm so proud of them, you know, because
I am too.
You know, the last election cycles, 2016, it's, oh, yes, we'll come out, vote for Hillary. What happened? But then again, it's sort of shared because, you know, Russia interfered with our elections. So, you know, there's a little shadiness right there. You know, but millennials really came through for Democrats. Independents.
Well, Dave, I got to tell you, my boomer friends all voted Democrat, so don't put us all down. We're not all stupid.
true. But a resounding 61% voted Republican, so that's very...
Well, they pool in Arizona and in Florida. That's the problem. Those are the two states they go to in the winter, so that's where they vote.
You know, another group that we need to be grateful to is Gen Z, because that's the group that probably stopped the red wave. And they were very underestimated. I hope in the next, in the presidential election, that they really respect Gen Z and the millennials, because truly they are the ones that pulled us up out of becoming a red wave. I really believe that. So they need to be thanking, and they are thanking them for showing up at the polls. Estimates say that about 27% of people ages 18 to 29, they're called Zoomers, and those on the Gen Z millennial cash ballot this November, for Democrats. So it's just, and they have that progressive, you know, they have that progressive outlook. You know, they care about climate change. They care about all the things that will get the country through another 200 years. And that's what we have to be focusing on, in my opinion, in the next election, the young people. We
and they're the ones that are suffering the most financially with
they are
college loans. They can't afford a freaking car or a house or an apartment.
No, they cannot.
It's ridiculous.
And that is the focus that I think they need to turn to, because this is the power of the vote. And if they can show that they, you know, can help these people, you know, help these young people, you know, lift themselves up and all the progressive values that are out there, I mean, we will do well.
Mm-hmm.
We will do well in 24.
And the Democrats are our only prayer to fight against the big corporate takeover of our country, you know, between the oil companies and the pharmaceutical companies. And look at Amazon is laying off a ton of people. Even idiot Musk, whatever his face is laying off people. Even Facebook is, because they're losing their ass right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, man. So, yeah, we'll have a couple more callers. We're going to put them in shortly.
Okay, I'll say goodnight, you guys, since you got somebody else.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy.
Thanks for calling in. Yeah. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? I guess the person hung up. Pianke, what's up, brother?
Well, we may be friends, but I don't think I'm your biological brother, but that's okay. But
okay, you're talking about a red wave last week. What's your feeling that Republicans embarrassed themselves?
Well, I'm associated with two red states that did have waves, if you want to call it that. But, you know, I'm going to tell you, some of these Republicans need to be gotten rid of because they're not worth a damn. They cow down to everything. They compromise. Shouldn't compromise on anything. It's spelled out in your documents, and who with any inkling of intelligence cannot read and interpret. And as far as student loans is concerned, federal government had no business telling private lending institutions that they're supposed to do that. Well, you realize your problem is that these young people are taking majors that don't pay any money. It's not in high demand, high wage, and high salary. And that goes all the way back to the preparation that begins in your elementary schools. These government schools are just terrible, especially in your urban areas, and now it's starting to spread out elsewhere. And that don't seem to be of any major concern. It really doesn't.
But when you talk about Republicans compromising and everything, don't you think this batch of candidates were really bad, really awful? You know, Donald Trump endorsed them, so automatically the Republican faithful, who are MAGA, you know, endorsed them and picked them in the primary.
Obama's coming out. I never seen no president. Shouldn't he just go ahead and retire? He's coming out endorsing candidates that's terrible also. I heard you mention about this guy. I heard you mention about this guy, Warnock, in Georgia. Look at the things he stands for. He stands for open borders. He thinks that a proprietor who has a business.
No,
you're wrong.
I'm reading his literature. I'm reading his literature that
open
he put
borders,
out.
What does that mean to you? What does open borders mean to you? Tell me
the,
your definition.
That they don't follow the law when you come in. If you want to seek refuge status, if you're in Nicaragua, you go to the adjacent state, you go to the U.S. Embassy, then you file for refugee status. That's what it means. It always have been that way. You can't let people come into the country and then get a court date that's 2 or 3 years out.
If they are seeking asylum.
No, it's the same. It's the,
because
you have to be approved for asylum.
If they are seeking asylum because the country they are coming from, their lives are in danger, why not?
Well, then you go to the...
What is wrong with that?
According to the UN, you go to the country adjacent. The country adjacent. Just the way they did, the way they did in South Africa. The way they did in South Africa. They went to Zimbabwe. Mozambique. They went to Zimbabwe. They didn't come to the U.S. Another point.
So through Mexico, Mexico and Canada are closest borders and everything.
Right.
So why does this?
Well, that's what you're supposed to go to.
Cubans can come here to Miami, the wet foot, dry foot policy, and they get asylum within
days. That was done under Clinton. When they was hunting down black Cubans.
That was done under Ronald Reagan in 1981.
No,
the Cuban
you're right.
It was done under Clinton.
It was done under Clinton in 1981.
Well, here's the thing. When they come into, let me say this. The U.S. international borders is about 20 feet in from the waterline. Anything beyond that, you are in a state. And state has a right to set the parameters of who comes within their state, if they so choose.
Can I ask you a question?
Hang on for a second. Just before you do, ma'am, I'm not here to argue with you. I don't even know you.
Exactly. And I don't know you. But when you, I'm asking you a question. Why do you care so much if people are seeking refuge in this country for a better life? Why do you care so much?
Because as Barbara Jordan, I don't know if you knew the black female congressperson from Texas, Barbara Jordan. This goes back some years. And she said, and you can listen to her say it on YouTube, she said that immigration is not a right. It's a privilege. You don't come to the country seeking a better life. You come to the country to make what we have here better. That's what it's about. And I think that black woman, congressperson in Texas know a little bit more than you do. Like Maxine Waters say, you don't tell me, a black woman, about my feelings.
Excuse me, but what does it matter if she's a black woman or a white woman or any kind? What does that matter?
It's because of the culture. It's the culture and the experience.
I am talking about people that want to come to this country to seek asylum because they live in a country that they cannot live in a country where they are. They can't eat.
Have you ever heard of the American states? The American states is just like their UN in South America, in the Caribbean. That is who's supposed to answer those problems, not the U.S. government. They have their own American states.
Okay, yes. So these people can't come here because they're just trying to get economic opportunities, starting a new life, because what happened
no,
in the 1970s and
1980s.
Can I make my point? Okay, the CIA went into these countries. It was the middle of the Cold War. The Cold War was hot in the Caribbean and Latin America. Look what they did to Allende in Chile. I'm putting Pinochet, the biggest dictator there is to mankind, you know? And these people are seeking refuge in the United States because America, through CIA, disrupted their economy, killed dissidents who were pro-socialists, you know? And socialism is not communism. That's another different show because that's a whole different topic, you know? And so these people are under threat of violence. Since then to know because
look, I know where you're going. United States give aid in the tens of millions of dollars in order for those countries to address those problems that we have. As
but we started Let me say this.
There's a lady, a Zambian. Her name is Demetia Moye. She used to be with the World Bank. She's Zambian.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book called Dead Aid. And within that book, it lists the billions and billions of dollars upwards of $1 trillion that have been given to these countries around the world, especially African countries. And she said that it does not go to the humanitarian causes that it should go to. It's misused.
Mm-hmm.
So when mm-hmm. Trump got in office, he said, well, what we're going to do is cut it off. You know, another thing, mm-hmm. the money that's incurred for people that's coming from those countries where you give aid, then any further mm-hmm. aid should be, that price should be deducted because it's not being mm-hmm. used as intended. Do you have any problems mm-hmm. against that?
No, but people who are in
Thank
power,
you.
Who put them in power? The CIA back in the Cold War days.
I can't tell you about that.
It's been documented. Freedom of Information Act. Go to any library.
There's no congressional acts. Hang on for a second. See, there's no congressional acts that you can point me to. No legislation that says CIA, go down and do this and go that, overthrow government and do the thing and do the thing.
Can
I say what I got to say, sir?
Okay, go ahead.
My goodness. I mean, didn't a guy by the name of Perkins make a book on that? I forget what it was called. It talks about how those shadow governments do the things that they do. Shadow governments do the things that they do all over the world. But the thing is that the citizens of this country have no control over that unless they know about it. There's nothing come out of Congress that gives a ragtag group like that the authority to do what they're doing.
Okay, we'll put puppet
government. Who controls the CIA? Who controls the CIA?
Yeah, listen to me. It's in the Freedom of Information Act, where back in the 1970s, from the 1960s right to the 70s, right through the 80s, they installed puppet governments. And these puppet governments, you know, terrorize people who didn't support them. Look what Allende,
well, they shouldn't,
Pinochet,
they shouldn't do
Pinochet. We give billions of dollars to Pinochet in Chile, and what did Pinochet
that shouldn't
do?
Be, when, that shouldn't
went
be
30,000 miles up in the air and threw people out because they
Yeah, ain't no
with
people
them.
Coming out of Chile. The people are coming out of the three northern cities. They're coming out of Nicaragua, Honduras, and the other one that skips my mind. And those
Look
countries
at
receive...
Look at Iran-Contra scandal, then. Look at the Iran-Contra scandal. You know, that's what, that was a problem in the 1980s that we caused. You know, we gave the Contras guns to fight the quote-unquote communists. They weren't communists, they were socialists.
Well, did not John McCain want to give Syrian, moderate Syrian freedom fighters weapons, too, to overthrow their government?
Yeah, okay, so, I mean... What's your point? Okay.
Well, what do you think my point
weapons?
Is? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hang on for a
what
second.
Is your
What's your point?
I mean, honestly,
What's your
truly,
point?
What is your point?
My point is,
what is
so
your point? Was it not the
Dulles
brother? Was it not the Dulles brother? Was it not the Dulles brother and Kermit Roosevelt, who was with the CIA, the nephew of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that worked with overthrowing Lumumba with Frank Cucci, who was a CIA, Carucci, C-A-R-U-C-C-I,
mm-hmm.
who was a CIA agent, under the pretense.
Kermit Roosevelt was a Republican.
Kermit
Roosevelt
it doesn't
was
make
a
no difference. It doesn't make no difference what they were.
The
you talking about, you said U.S. government policy.
Okay,
Did
the
you?
Bottom line is, The bottom line is, I get to find out from the U.S. Freedom of Information Act what we did to these third world countries, you know? And the people are suffering for it, running away now because of economic situation in their countries there, and they want to start all fresh. Why aren't
the
they
United
allowed?
They, I don't, look, the thing is that there's laws to be followed under Title 42
mm-hmm.
as it applies to immigration. Those are the
mm-hmm.
standing codes of the United States of America. And if a president
mm-hmm.
or Congress do not follow, then they need to be dealt with. They need to be held accountable.
Okay, good, great. So in 2010, Republicans got a majority. What did they do to reform immigration?
Yeah, they haven't
Nothing.
Reformed anything. when they have
one
the majority.
Thing, the thing you do, just like the problem that Germany is having right now, the problem with these migrants that's coming into the country and overrunning the border walls and so on, you cannot have that going on. You have to stop it. People come into a country legally. When I go to African countries, I was in Togo one time. My visa expired on a Friday. I could have been kicked out of the country if I had not until Monday when I had a chance to go have it renewed. You have to follow the law.
But this is a little bit different following the law. These are children as well. They don't even
That don't make no difference if it's kids. Wait a minute, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh. Be a human being. Think like a human being with a heart. Can you do that?
You're there in Texas with a child. How do you know that's their child?
Look, if any kid...
No. Just answer the question. How do you know it's the child? Because they have a...
How do you know they're not?
Ma'am, I don't... Look, ma'am, let's do this. Let's do this. You keep your comments to yourself, and I keep my comments to myself. I don't feel like hollering with you. Do you understand? I'm talking to the host.
I am the host.
Talk to you.
Excuse me?
No, no.
I am the host.
Both of us are the host.
Well, I want to talk to this male here. We had a conversation. I was trying to explain some things to you. All you want to do is cut people off.
No, I don't.
Well, tell me when I can talk.
My point.
Tell me when I can talk.
You've been talking the whole time.
Tell me when I can talk.
As soon as you answer my question, what is wrong with a child coming in here without his mother or maybe his
Tell me when I can answer that question.
Can you please listen to what I'm saying to you? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with a child?
You asked that. You asked me that several times. Now tell me when you want me to answer it. Tell me when you want me to answer it.
I want you to answer with a heart and a soul.
No, I don't have to answer with my heart. I answer with the law. And here's the point. How do you know that that adult, that child that's with that adult, belongs to that adult? You have had cases where... You have had cases where children have accompanied adults, and when they hit the border, because of this sentiment, political sentiment, they let them in. The child gets here, makes a phone call. They put on a plane and sit back down to Nicaragua, and then they recycle and they do it again and again and again.
And you have proof of that?
Yes.
Not what I'm talking
Contact
about.
The people okay. there in El Paso. They'll tell you.
I'm going to ask you another question. What Governor DeSantis did in Florida when he lied to those migrants, put them on a plane and sent them to Martha's Vineyard, was that right or was that heartless and cold?
No, it's not heartless and cold because Florida is a country of its own.
Well, ma'am, you asked
the question, now you continue to talk. Tell me when I can talk. Tell me when I can talk.
You can talk?
All right, I told you that Florida is a country of its own. That government has a right to do that.
Florida is not a country of its own. Florida is not a country of its own.
Florida is a country of its own. Florida is sovereign.
Florida is one of the 50 states in the United States.
No. Florida is a sovereign country. It has its own government. It has its own military.
Florida?
It's a sovereign country.
Okay. All right.
Florida?
All right. Pianke, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate the call and everything.
You know something, too? What's your name again? Mike?
David.
David. You know, I hate to, when I call you, you have to argue with these two people all the time. It's ridiculous.
I don't agree
because
with you.
Don't know what the hell you're talking about. What you're doing is racist,
ma'am. The two of you. I'm black and you just attacking me. You're racist.
Oh, my God.
Thank you very much.
Stupid shit. That isn't correct.
There they go. There they go. There they go. There
okay,
they go.
It's not about race, Bianca. It's not about race. Nobody attacks
David
you about your race
black,
and everything.
For God's sake. And I'm his co-host. Mm. Excuse me. So you're 100% wrong. And don't throw that in my face ever again.
Well, don't be doing what you're doing in my face.
I am not doing
okay?
anything. Don't try to tell me that Florida is a country.
Florida is a sovereign country.
No, it's not. Just stay for the United States. All right,
Florida, let me tell you something. Florida can leave the United States whenever it gets ready, just like you have southern counties in Oregon.
The South lost the Civil War.
Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do about the Civil War.
It's not a country.
They had federal money. They had federal money.
Just like you have southern counties in Oregon that's leaving Oregon to go to Iowa. They can do whatever they want.
It's not going to be sanctioned because it's not going to be allowed.
What's going to stop them? David, what's going to stop them?
It's not going to happen.
David,
fought a civil war
David,
over that.
David, 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 there's a thing called Article 5 of the United States Constitution and also Amendment 10. The Constitution gives that power to the state. Do you understand that the federal government gets its powers from the state?
It doesn't.
No, they,
the federal government gets its powers from the state.
Excuse me? DeSantis used federal money to fly those migrants to another state and lie to them.
Where did the money come from?
And he sued for it,
where did the money come from? And money comes from the country. It comes from the states. They don't have to give it to the federal government. Just like during the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. You had states that said, we're not going to do it.
No,
the federal
wrong.
Government said that we would hold the funds. They said
no,
that you can't withhold from
money.
Us what we
no.
don't give you.
No, that is taxpayer money. He cannot take taxpayer money and do
where
what
the
do hell
they,
he
where
to.
Do the federal government get taxpayer money from? It comes from the state.
That was taxpayer money.
Where does it come from?
It comes from federal taxes, Pianke. That's where it comes from.
Where do federal taxes get their money from? Where did the federal government get its money from?
From us.
All
right. If the state don't give it to them, they don't have it.
What has that got to
that's
do
why
with
they have federal and state taxes.
What I'm saying is that state borders are state borders. Federal government has no business bringing in illegals across state borders.
Federal funds, where there were taxpayer money, that was part of my money as well, to fly people to another state. That was not what he's supposed to do. That is not part of his job.
The federal government has no business bringing illegals into the state of Florida.
Wrong. It's wrong.
The federal government has the federal government. Well, tell me when I can talk. Tell me when I can talk.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got cut off somehow. That's crazy. Florida is not a country by itself. I don't know where he gets that from. You know, payroll taxes, state taxes, that goes into federal income taxes. What is Pianke talking about? Seriously. I'm lost.
Know.
I'm confused.
I
you know, what the hell? What was that?
You live in this country?
You know?
Since when is Florida
oh
now?
Oh, my God.
Excuse me? And then he tries to tell me to shut up? No way.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
No way.
I'm exhausted. Sousa, somebody call back in, please. Try to make me understand what he was talking about, because I'm trying to explain to him that
Chris,
these people coming from Nicaragua because of the Iran-Contra
David.
That happened in 1986. Yes, I'm listening.
No, go ahead. I mean, go ahead.
Okay.
Listen.
1986, when the Iran-Contra thing happened, Reagan sent a bunch of weapons to fight the Contra rebels, who were labeled as socialist/communist. Two different goddamn things. You know, Reagan did it illegally. You know, what's his name? Colonel Oliver North went to prison for it, took the fall for Reagan and Bush.
Yeah.
You know, Reagan should have been in prison for what he did. So, no, I didn't remember anything, you know. Or, he wasn't in that meeting. Or I fell asleep, you know. He was still back then. Before he died of Alzheimer's. So why was he allowed to sign papers and documents, giving illegal weapons to these people? to fight the so-called communists in Nicaragua. And the putting these people in there as puppets to the America's bidding, but yet still, I don't know. That's a whole story by itself.
The frosting on the cake is that Florida is a country of its own. That's the frosting on my cake for tonight. My God.
Yeah.
Really? Since when? Since when? You know,
mm-hmm.
And the governor of that state, which is a country that does not belong to the United States, wants to run for president? Make sense of that one. Make sense of it.
Yeah.
Really?
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
And he is a male.
I don't know.
And I will tell you something right now. He is a male chauvinist pig. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No respect for women whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He got my blood pressure up, I will say that. But I shouldn't allow it.
Yeah, I understand clearly how you feel. Pianke, come on, man. You know, up your game a little bit. Because she's my co-host and everything. We did a show together. Yeah, show a little bit more tact and respect. You know, she's one of the hosts
Definitely.
Of the show. You know?
Yeah.
And come on. Do better than that. Right-wing people who call in here, please, do better than that. You know, if that's the case, then, you know, we'll take in more right-wing callers because, you know, it's going
to
turn this big shouting
fact.
Match. We don't want that. You know,
I mean, I can't. I will put up with somebody, but don't start telling me that I was talking to the male. Excuse me? And I can't say anything? No,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't know me very well.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I guess you don't know your place, woman. But anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Trying to break. Yeah, here's Lauren Boebert again. Lauren Boebert talking a lot of garbage again.
Is she?
It is too close to call. Colorado's third congressional district. In a bit of a surprise, incumbent Republican Lauren Boebert, as you see there on your screen, trailing her Democratic competitor Adam Frisch, currently by about 3,500 votes. The outspoken Boebert refused to concede last night, but we haven't heard anything from either side since. Right now it's 51-49% with 93% of districts reporting. Now, there were also several statewide ballot initiatives that could change several state laws. Some of the tightest ones, still without a decision, are all about alcohol. We'll never forget where I came from, and I will never forget the great people of Ohio. Thank you for this honor.
Yeah, that was J.D. Vance, his victory speech that night in Ohio, where he beat Congressman Tim Ryan. I don't know. I don't understand Ohio because Tim Ryan is world class, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm a gentleman.
Yeah.
And this guy, J.D. Vance, who, basically turned to Donald Trump, kiss his ass. And, that's not having dignity in our self-respect. And they still elected this clown, J.D. Vance, to be United States Senator. You know, I guess Ohio, I get what happened, coming to them because that makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, they make their own bed. And, you know, I just got a message from somebody that was listening on the show, my friend Tom from Michigan, and he said that Pianke sounded like most Republicans he knows. Women, know your place. That's what he said. You know,
Tom's right, you know.
Yeah,
that was very condescending.
Yep.
It was very condescending. I'm disappointed.
No, he didn't intimidate me. Trust me.
But I'm still trying to get over the fact that he said Florida is a country within itself. That makes no sense.
I mean, that was like the best.
There's no border crossing. The Civil War was fought over the same thing. The wet foot, dry foot policy, for example, when Cubans come, because Cubans vote en masse for Republicans because of Fidel Castro and the system he has there, which is communist. Okay, I get all that. So Cubans can have, a legitimate say within weeks are coming on mm-hmm. American soil and even get citizenship yep. in no time. The people from Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, wherever, Haiti, you know, Sri Lanka, wherever, you know, Jamaica. Mm-hmm. Well, Jamaicans don't come on board. But, you know, for example, the Haitians, when they sent back a whole bunch of Haitians, and as soon as they land back in Haitian soil, they were murdered. Now, is that United States of America?
That's
you know, if they were white, if they were Cubans, they'd be allowed, but hey, there are a bunch of Negroes. Send them back to the slaughter.
You know,
come on, man.
And that's basically the point that I was trying to make. You know, do you have a heart and a soul? Because if you don't have a heart and a soul, then you're done for. I mean, you have to have some compassion. I mean, not everything is 100% by the book, and you have to, you know, read a sentence, and that's how it goes. That isn't how life is.
Mm-hmm.
Life is back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's compliment. It's opening your mind and seeing what's right and wrong. I mean, honestly and truly, it's sad the way people think. Why do you think that you have to?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, why do things have to be so darn, you know, so darn rigid? Life is not rigid. Life needs to be, you know, a little mixed up, and we learn from it, and we try to do better the next time. That's the way life should be.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the thing is, Pianca is four laws. So these same rich companies, corporations, hire illegal, pay them under minimum wage and everything. Don't pay the state income tax on them and everything. Pay them under the table. So, okay, so you must break it back and slave for these corporations, getting pennies for pay. And, you know, when they finish, you can throw you out. That's what you know, Trump and Mar-a-Lago did. You know? Underpaying people, not paying people at all. You know, so it's good for Trump and, you know, screw everybody else. You know, come on, man. Oh, I try to reason with right-wingers and they just can't get the gist. I just don't understand.
You know, and to make your point, David, there was just an article that children were illegally hired for graveyard shift cleaning at a JPS meat plant. Children are working at dangerous jobs at JPS meat processing plants in Minnesota and Nebraska, hired illegally for overnight shifts and tasks that left a 13-year-old caustic chemical burns. The U.S. Department of Labor this week asked a federal court to issue a nationwide restraining order against the world's largest meat processing company's plant cleanup provider, Packer Sanitation Services, to stop it from employing dozens of workers under the age of 18. Judge in Lincoln, Nebraska, granted the temporary request on Thursday, a department spokesman told CBS Money Watch in an email. And an investigation launched in August found that PSSI hired at least 31 children ranging in age from 13 to 17 to fulfill the company's sanitation contracts in Grand Island, Nebraska and Worthington, Minnesota at a Turkey Valley Farm in Minnesota, department officials said. That's appalling, the kind of job that they have to do. These young children, they probably pay them shit, okay?
Don't pay them at all.
This is America? Really? That makes me sick.
Yeah. Who says to pay them at all? That's the thing, you know?
That's the thing.
Because that's child labor right there. It's illegal.
Yes, 13 to 17, working midnight shifts with toxic chemicals, cleaning these floors and everything after they killed animals so that they can process them. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
How desperate they must be.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I mean, how do they go to school after working so hard?
Well, that's
you know, cleaning these chemicals.
You know,
and
that was what I was thinking. You know, how do they go to school? How do they work midnight and then get up and go to school at 7 in the morning? I mean, how do they do that? They probably don't get to go to school. or if they do, they're late. I mean, that is really sad that that goes on, and it does go on, unfortunately. We just don't find out, you know, enough time, but it does go on, I am sure, that these corporations have no boundaries. That's another show to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get the union thing. So, you know, it's appalling. It is appalling. That really broke my heart when I read that. And then when I talk about having a heart and a soul, that is what you have to think about, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably migrants. I'm thinking that they are migrants because there are not kids in this country that would do that if they're, you know, living here legally. They're probably migrants trying to get, you know, trying to make some money so they can live.
Trying to keep the families alive, exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to get a new fresh start in America.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I mean, that call took me. Florida's a country by itself.
Yeah.
Independent country. So California. So why do they have Senate seats? Why do they have congressional seats if they're not part of the United States? I don't understand what Pianca is saying.
I either talk that the governor's going to run for president of the United States of America if they're not part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Realistic. I don't know what planet he's from, but oh well.
Mm-hmm.
He can just
Yeah, we'll have a couple minutes left. So the bottom line is Democrats didn't lose in our electoral bloodbath. Thank God, for small mercies. We'll thank the millennials. We have to get rid of the electoral college. That's total garbage. We'll have to have serious reform. We'll have to put more in public schools, in public education, because obviously wherever PNK is, there's no public education. It's not good.
Yes.
For the things he said today, tonight, I'm shocked and appalled. But the Freedom of Information Act is in there, where the CIA went into different countries in Latin America and Central America during the heights of Cold War and destabilized these countries, put in their puppet governments to the bidding of the United States because of the Cold War. All hell broke loose when the Cold War is over and these despots who they put in were absolute rulers, didn't believe in democracy. They were drunk off of power. Pinochet is the main one of them in Chile when the CIA murdered Fulgencio Allende because they said he was communist, which he wasn't. He was a socialist. Totally different systems.
Totally
but
different.
But that's a show by itself. You know, just, you know, Freedom of Information Act, you see what the CIA did, and there's no question about it that the CIA did wrong. It was the height of the Cold War. So, you know, right-wingers, educate yourself. Not saying, you know, Democrats are angels, but come on, man.
No.
Don't follow Republican Party so blindly. You know, look up Iran-Contra. Jesus Christ, this country is going to hell. Okay. So this has been Kitchen Politics 123 for November 14th, 2022. Happy birthday to King Charles III in England. God save the King. I just said that to piss off right-wingers. And, you know, thank you for Susan for calling in. Elaine and who else? Couple of people who usually call in. Thanks for spreading the word on social media. We got a couple of listeners in tonight. Thank you, Tom. That's Tom in Tennessee. Much respect. Till next time. Next time, Thursday night, same time, same place. And if right wingers are calling, please be respectful to Lori. She's a co-host on the show, and do not talk down to her. Please, please, just be respectful. All right. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Have a good night, everyone. Bye now.
suggested upon. Anybody else? Who are you?
Savino Garay with Reuters News Agency. If Donald Trump...
Then I would absolutely wholeheartedly support him. We need President Trump back in office to fix what Joe Biden has screwed up.
From CBS News. I want to just follow up on this question, if I may. If Donald Trump announces as expected to be president and you win the governorship of Arizona, you're likely to be talked about as a VP candidate. Do you plan to serve your entire term in Arizona, or are you open to being the VP?
Are you new covering this race? We've talked about this before. We've talked about this event. I am going to not only be the governor of Arizona for 4 years. I'm going to do 2 terms. I'm going to be for 8 years. And we will reform the media as well. We're going to make you guys into journalists again. So get ready. It's going to be a fun 8 years. I can't wait to be working with you guys for 8 years. Any other questions on that?
Join us again Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3. Good night and good luck.